hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and driving about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the dark dying heat. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the heart of my feet. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog that I keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you run down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, there were two terrorist attacks over the weekend. Of course, there was the horrific shooting. We're now up to, I believe, 59 dead and 527, I think, people injured in the shootout in Las Vegas. I'm going to play a interview I did with Brian Rue, and this will give you some idea of what the information we have up to now, as well as the information about the attack in Edmonton by a Muslim, Somali refugee Muslim person who was. Not only known to the police, but apparently had been had come to the police attention, and it was actually under some sort of, obviously not very good, police surveillance. Absolutely insane. A mark of our completely ruined, our completely morally destitute immigration system. It does not protect Canadians. It has all manner of goals, but protecting Canadians is certainly not one of them. This is the interview and discussion I had with my good friend, videographer Brian Ruin. This is now up on YouTube. Anyway, it appears, I believed it had been recorded, apparently there was a slight problem, so I'll probably play that tomorrow. Well, that is not our prime minister. What happened briefly in Edmonton on Saturday night? It was outside a Edmonton Eskimos football game, and I think traffic was being restricted or constricted. A police officer was there to oversee things, as I guess they were trying to direct traffic in one particular direction. Fair enough. And at that point, a vehicle driven by a Somali, in quotation marks, refugee, came to Canada in 2012. Rammed into the policeman, knocked him flying, hit him again, and then the driver leaped out and stabbed him. It's a miracle that the officer isn't dead. Anyway, the officer tried to give chase. The Somali then fled on foot, and got away. At some point commandeered a U-Haul van. Not long after, was stopped at a police stop check, fled the scene in his van, and headed to another part right downtown Edmonton on Jasper Avenue, rammed into, and then started to swerve, trying to hit pedestrians. He managed to hit four more, and before the police cornered him and flipped his van and arrested him. Now, in the back of his car, he had an ISIS flag. So, quite clearly, affiliation with ISIS. Now, he was investigated 2 years ago, in 2015, by the police, when it came to the police attention that he'd been expressing some very radical opinions. They investigated him, they interviewed him, and then did nothing further. So he had come to, he was known to the police as a terrorist, a very least sympathizer. Well, let's back up a little bit. How did he get into Canada? That to me is the most pressing point. How did he get into Canada? Oh, he was a refugee. Well, we're always told in a vague way. Oh, they're people are carefully checked for, you know, for security reasons and so on. I've got to say, I just don't believe it. Do you? I just don't believe it. The evidence is that this guy got into the country, and even after he proved himself highly having terrorist sympathies, that was not enough to keep him out or just send him packing. One of the problems, people who recognized this problem, was Conservative leadership candidate Kelly Leach, Dr. Kelly Leach. And earlier this year, when she ran for the Conservative Party leadership, she made a point of saying that she advocated that all immigrant or refugee applicants to Canada be given an in-person interview. That's how in-person. So an officer could sit down, talk with them, in order to try to make certain that they didn't hold anti-Canadian values, or that their values were consistent with our values. Now, this seems perfectly reasonable, you would think. A reasonable suggestion, a ho-hum, where's the controversy? Well, there was huge controversy. Even many conservatives, in quotation marks, denounced her, that this was racist, this was elitist, this was, well, they almost said this was white supremacist. She's Canada's Donald Trump. Well, I wish she were, but that would seem to be obvious. Someone was asked, well, what's a Canadian value? She said, well, respect for women, respect for democracy, belief that a girl should not be forced to marry, there should not be child brides, there should not be polygamy. And I might quibble with her around the edge on one or two of those. Those are good values. And yet, these are values that not all people in the third world hold. Many people from Muslim countries believe in arranged marriages. Often arranged for people who are underage. Of course, I'd be the first to agree that these people have the right to their views. The fact is, though, they have no place in Canada. If they want to practice those views in their countries, that's their business. But not in our country. And that's the important point. Official reactions started with barely acceptable and ranged all the way to absolutely disgusting. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, the trust fund kid, he went on to say that diversity was our great strength and we must have unity. He never mentioned this man was a Somali refugee and obviously a supporter of ISIS. The mayor of Edmonton, he was much to be seen on TV going on about we must unite, we must all pull together. Maybe we ought to find out why people like the killer Sharif, that was his last name, why he was in this country. How had he managed to slip past the tight security or whatever, we're sure it is there, and gain admission to this country, and so obviously and so vilely pay us back? There's no gratitude from these people. You know, there was no gratitude at all. He paid back this country that let him in by supporting ISIS and the terrorists, the anti-Western terrorists, and by this utterly unprovoked attack on a police officer, Constable Mike Chernik, and for pedestrians. No talk of that. We must have unity. And he talked about combating extremism and hate. You know, most of the time when they talk about hate, it's about nationalism. If you're in favor of your people and you're white, well, you're a hater. And I was wondering, why in all his blatherings could he not mention the obvious? Why not say, stand against Islamic terrorism? Maybe we could unite around that. Well, then there was the Premier of Alberta. She's a socialist. Her name is Rachel Notley. And Premier Notley gave a television statement on Sunday. And
She too was talking about, we must not let this divide us. Well, we are divided. We've got terrorists in our midst. Don't be a fool, woman. Then she said, there is no place for, there's no place for extremism, no, there's no place for hate. And I think she said extremism. The entire press conference, no mention of Islamic terrorism. Well, usually, hate is a code word for white nationalism. But she wouldn't name the problem. And, you know, that's a big problem. You cannot solve a situation if you can't even discuss it. We don't know if it was hate, or if it was. I'm not even sure that term is very helpful. It was adherence to radical Islam, which justifies the murder of non-Muslims or perceived enemies of Islam. That is the problem. If we can't name it, well, we can hardly fight it, can we? Or we can fight it, but we're certainly not going to be very successful at fighting it, are we? That was the contribution of the Premier of Alberta. So when you look at this whole thing, the leadership, absolutely vile, just vile leadership in this. And you see, of course, the problem is, and they're probably wise enough to know this, that one of the things that they've been yammering about, the elite in Canada, particularly the Prime Minister at his dinner, where he received the Global Citizen, if you please, award from the Atlantic Union in New York 2 weeks ago. He gave a speech there that was just a frightening ideological rant. He said back in the 1980s, Canada was a leader in the fight against apartheid. Well, that's true, regrettably. I would put it a little differently. In the effort to undermine and dispossess our fellow whites in South Africa. That's what that was all about. Well, in the end, 1994, the campaign that had gone back for over 30 years succeeded. A corrupted white leadership handed the keys over to the communists and the African National Congress. Ever since then, in the intervening 23 years, over 5,000 white farmers have been murdered. South Africa is the rape capital of the world. bad situation, right? Whites are under attack, but no further interest in South Africa. Now the challenges, said the trust fund kid, are that we must fight against Islamophobia. I see. Transphobia. That's I guess if you're a little leery of transsexuals, whatever those are. Homophobia. Okay. Let me think. Racism. Yeah, I have to fight against racism. White supremacy. Neo-Nazism and neo-fascism. Well, I wonder where you can even find fascists today. And I don't mean this in a term of abuse sense, but I mean, seriously, where do you find such people? I'm not aware of anybody trying to revive the political views of Benito Mussolini. Not that they were all bad for that matter, but in vain talking about fighting something that doesn't exist, or for all intents and purposes doesn't exist. When he talks about fighting Islamophobia, that is a broad term that simply means fear or apprehension of Muslims. Well, after Edmonton on the weekend, you'd be a fool not to have some apprehension about Muslims, particularly radical Muslims. And how do you tell them apart? Well, why should we have to tell them apart? What are they doing here? I think the entire establishment, or at least the pro-immigration, pro-diversity establishment realize what a disaster this is. And so they're immediately trotting out the usual mantras, diversity is our greatest threat. No, we wouldn't have this if we didn't have the disgusting diversity bringing in the flotsam and jetsam of the third world into Canada. We might have other problems, yes, but we would not have Islamic terrorism. Diversity is not our greatest strength. If anything, it's probably a very major weakness. But they must repeat the mantra over and over again in the hopes that you might not notice that how destitute their whole scheme is. But well, there's now a report from InfoWars, from Chris Manahan, and I find it appalling, that because there are comments here I hadn't seen by Trudeau, and one has to wonder. On Saturday, September 30th, a 30-year-old Somali refugee rammed into a police officer in his car, then got out and stabbed him repeatedly with a knife. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau responded to news of the Somali refugees' terror attack in Edmonton by call to end white supremacy. And, as I've already mentioned, said diversity is our strength. Well, this is incomprehensible. Sharif didn't stab the officer and run down the forest pedestrians in the name of white supremacy. He did it in the name of ISIS, Islamic terrorism. And diversity is our strength. Well, no, diversity quite clearly is part of the problem. Now, other liberals got into the act, almost as bizarre. Mariam Monsef, now, she's allegedly, she was a cabinet minister. She's an Afghan. Well, she claimed to have been an Afghani. And before I get into what she said, it's important to know she's another one of these confused creatures. She got into the cabinet for two reasons only. Number one, what she didn't have between her legs, her sex. And number two, because she was colored, she was an Afghani. Well, I'll put that in quotation marks. And she was made initially the minister responsible for democratic institutions. She was going to fulfill the Liberal Party election promise to give us probably a more representative electoral system. Instead of first past the post, this would be some form of proportional representation. Well, that has come to absolutely nothing. And it was revealed by the Globe and Mail about a year ago that Mariam Monsef's biography, or autobiography, is a bit of a problem. She claimed to be an Afghani refugee who came here when she was 11. Well, she came here when she was 11, but apparently was born in Iran and spent most of her first decade in Iran. Now, you might say, well, what's the diff? May not be a huge difference between Afghanistan and Iran, but, you know, if you don't even know, it seemed much better, you see. Canada had been involved in the Afghan war, supposedly to bring democracy to Afghanistan. What a waste of our time. And this was going to be a great success story. See, we were involved in that war, and here's a little girl who came here as a refugee, and she's made good, and she's now in the cabinet. On the strength, really, of nothing more than her sex and her color. And, well, it's a cute story, I guess, if you like stories like that. So, fine, was in the cabinet, totally botched that portfolio. She's now being made minister in charge of the status of women. Well, women don't have much status in either Afghanistan or Iran, but okay. And I always thought from the very beginning that Monsef is a person whose background are two countries that don't know much about democracy, both the Afghanistan and Iran. Does she really have much to teach us at the tender age of 31? But it's not unusual for these people to play fast and loose with the facts. Well, when she was confronted with this, she had a lame excuse, and that was that, well, she'd only just discovered that she was born in Iran and that they lived most of their life in Iran. Well, until she was 11. Well, how stupid. Well, I mean, do you believe we're that stupid? You didn't know where you were from. You only just discovered your family history. What? You were an orphan? No, she was not. Whether she was lying or not, I leave the informed reader to ponder, listener to ponder. But an RCMP source said some years ago that refugees, almost 95% of them, lie. Well, lying is endemic. I mean, they look at this country. We're ripe for the taking. We're ruled by idiots who are only too happy to let the most diverse and unassimilable elements in the world into Canada. They can't believe their good fortune. So, I mean, there's nothing about the way we comport ourselves that would seem to require them to show us the respect of telling us the truth. Anyway, she went on to Twitter, and this is what she said. Today is in hashtag PT, Peterborough. We demonstrated that in Canada, diversity is our strength and unity will always overcome hate. We heard from Indigenous leaders and elders, from poets and community activists, from grandmothers and settlers, students and teachers, all who stood up for our values. Well, this was a big protest against an anti-immigration rally that was supposed to occur. It may be easy to reduce the day in the community's efforts to one individual's moment of weakness, but that's not the story. Violence is never the answer, and our community will always rally around peace and love and dignity for all. Well, no, not for the white Indigenous population who are being replaced by policy. That is what we must take away from today. Together we stand united. Together we are strong. Peace and love will always overcome hate. Well, it didn't overcome much hate in Edmonton, did it? We came and stood shoulder to shoulder today in the face of hate displayed by a small minority of individuals. She's talking about this rally in Peterborough. Well, what an idiot. There were no individuals there. This anti-immigration rally was rather cleverly, and I'll conclude the story in a bit. There was no there were no white nationalists there in the park. We danced, we sang, we drummed. To those who think they can divide, today actually brought us closer, more focused and more determined to work together, because diversity and inclusiveness are what make our community and our country so strong. But we're not strong, we're weak. This is she is not actually directly commenting about events in Edmonton. There's one of these childlike banners of different color hands, red, blue, purple, orange, black, around a little sign that says, "Love lives here, end white supremacy." Well, I don't know about white supremacy. The white people are being replaced by immigration policy. InfoWars article continues.
Though the attacker was a Somali Muslim and the victim was a white police officer, she included multiple calls to end white supremacy. Justin Trudeau shared the post to his own Facebook on Sunday and said he entirely agrees. Well said, Minister Trudeau said. Canadians' resolve has been tested this weekend, but I know, as always, we will come through united. Our diversity is our strength. just a stupid, stupid mantra. Fortunately, some of the people on Facebook were not particularly impressed with her. Dwayne Hearn said, I find this post extremely distasteful in light of what just happened in Edmonton. We had an Islamic terrorist attack a police officer and civilians, and you are trying to deflect that by posting this? Diversity, tolerance, and inclusion? Does that mean terrorism also? Tell that to the families of the victims. You're responsible for this, Trudeau, and that's right. We've got to put it to the politicians. You are responsible. This is the trash that you brought into this country. It's on you, and that's liberals and conservatives, because this guy, Sharif, came to Canada apparently in 2012 while the conservatives were still in power. They've got to own it, and people should not be taken in by the sloganeering about diversity. Another person responds, "And white supremacy? Yeah, I'm all down for that. But I would also like to condemn Islamic terrorism." Christina says, "How can skin color mean supremacy? We have different skin colors because our Ryan Sale said, terrorism will balance itself against Trudeau, remember what you said, you would take responsibility if anything bad happened as a result. Well, now is your time. Yeah, that is bringing in the hello? 7? Okay. Oh, okay. So when are you coming? Okay, great, thanks. I'll come back to that. I'm going to play take a short musical interlude here, and I'm going to play a couple of tunes by Rebel Sun. He's a singer I had not known of previously until a week or two ago, and he's very forceful. Some of his lyrics, and I won't play all of his songs, but some of his lyrics are a little on the rough side, but real enthusiasm. And this is called "Sitting Up Drinking with Robert E. Lee." Sitting up drinking with Robert E. Lee, and this is Rebel Sun.
Dixie, how old times used to be.
Robert E. Lee. We talked about his troops in the rebel infantry, in those 13 southern states that live in infamy. As he took another swig of his black label whiskey, he said, that Yankee pride don't mean a damn thing to me. He spoke about his men and how they always fought so brave, and how they wove their sacred flag on any life they gave. He struggled to gain independence for his southern ground. He stood up for his cause and never once did he back down. And Robert E. Lee did not like the Northerners one bit. He was a rebel and he knew it, and he didn't give a shit. We've been talking about Dixie and how old times used to be, and I've been sitting up drinking with Robert E. Lee. Was getting low, so I thanked him for our talk, cause it was time for me to go. While walking to my car, I turned to thank him once again, but the ride was fair, there was nothing there but rocks and dirt and sand. Was it my imagination playing with my head? I remember hearing clearly every single word he said. Every movement, every gesture, every tear that his heart shed. His dream is still alive, even though his body's dead. Robert E. Lee's memory lives on in the southern soul, along with his boys who fought and died out in the cold. Lee was a man with tons of courage, a hero without a doubt. He was a man with determination, he was a man from the South. And Robert E. Lee did not like them Northerners one bit. He was a rebel and he knew it, and he didn't give a shit. He said, son, I've got many stories to tell. Ulysses S. Grant, kiss my ass and go to hell. We've been talking about Dixie and how old times used to be, and I've been sitting up drinking with Robert E. Lee. Drink him up, bro.
That's Rebel Son, Sitting Up Drinking, with Robert E. Lee. Got another tune by Rebel Son. This is a really great little ballad. Confederate Man, Mr. Confederate Man. Robert, and this is Rebel Son, Mr. Confederate Man.
I was just a little boy elementary school, English and math and science class, learning the golden rule. I learned how to add and how to subtract, how to multiply and divide.
I learned about bugs and I learned about plants and I learned how to read and write. But my most favorite class of all was my last class of the day, when my history teacher would tell us tales of old times long gone away. I was amazed at the way she knew all the people and their names and the places and the dates. That's when I first learned about General Lee and his 13 rebel states. One day she came to school with a big brown grocery bag. She opened it up, we all helped her hold up this great big egg-shaped flag. She said, class, now only a fool will tell you this flag is a symbol of hate. It represents the men who fought and died with pride for our Confederate states. Your assignment tonight, I want you to write, I want you to pretend that one of these brave men came back to life. Now what would you say to him? Well, the school bell rang and I thought as the bus carried me across town. I got out my pencil and my notebook pad, and this is what I wrote down. I wrote, Mr. Confederate man, I'd like to shake your hand for giving your life for Dixieland. Mr. Confederate man. The next day in history class, I put my paper on the teacher's desk. Then she called me up in front of everyone because she said she liked mine the best. As I walked up to the head of the class, my teacher smiled and she nodded at me. Then I saw a tear roll down her cheek as I began to read. I read, Mr. Confederate man, I'd like to shake your hand for giving your life for Dixieland. Mr. Confederate man. Well, I was at home reading through the news just the other day when I ran across my old teacher's name and I saw where she had passed away. With a bittersweet smile, I looked up at my wall, a wrinkled paper in an old wood frame, where underneath penciled words almost faded away, she had marked a great big red A. Plus, Mr. Confederate man, I'd like to shake your hand for giving your life for Dixieland. Mr. Confederate man, I wrote, Mr. Confederate man, I'd like to shake your hand for giving your life for Dixieland. Mr. Confederate man.
I think that's a great little ballad, Mr. Confederate Man by Rebel Son. And we'll play, I'm going to play one more tune here on this on this musical break here, and I think what we'll have tonight is lady's voice here, Heather Miles from California, country and western singer,
from California. Love me a little bit longer. Well,
infrastructure is more than just construction. Working late again, don't wait up for me. We don't spend time together like we used to. And I'm tired of waking up in misery. When you love me, love me just a little bit longer. Paying for the things we can't afford. Now it might take some time to make it better, but we've been down some bad road before. But if you love me, love me just a little bit longer.
Heather Miles, country and western singer from California. One of the issues that we're involved up here in the Dominion of Canada, by we I mean the Canadian Association for Free Expression, is the issue of an attack, on attacks on free speech all the time, the attack on Christians and people who criticize the LGBTQ agenda. And one such person is my good friend, Bill Watcott. Now, Bill is a very, very committed Christian. He has been to jail for opposing abortion clinics, demonstrating. I don't mean physical violence or anything, because in Canada we have a police state of radical feminists who somehow managed to get politicians to declare bubble zones around abortion clinics. We have abortion on demand in Canada, but people who are opposed to abortion or would like people considering abortion to maybe think again or give it some thought and demonstrate are severely limited and restricted. And Bill Watcott some years ago violated
these bubble zones and spent some time in jail. He's also a strong critic of homosexuality, or maybe better to call it the homosexual agenda. He's now before the British Columbia Human Rights Commission, and we the CAFE are intervening, or as Americans might call this an amicus curiae situation, intervening on his behalf. Now, a sub-issue has arisen in that the tribunal chairman, a fellow by the name of forget his name for the moment, but we'll find it here, wrote a judgment recently allowing CAFE to intervene and turning down the application of another individual, and in the process made a comment about the complainant who now goes by the name of Morgan Auger, but was actually born Ronan Auger. And the comment was that he was born a male. Now, his lawyer, Auger's lawyer, of course we can't even agree on is it he or she, but anyway, Auger's lawyer demanded that the judgment be amended to remove the wording that Auger was born a male but now identifies as a female. No, he was not born a male. Now you'd wonder, is this was not this is really just an aside. The decision was actually to grant intervener status for CAFE and not grant it for another individual. But anyway, these homosexuals are sexually other, want to fight over everything. Anyway, Bill Watcott says, Ronan, when he was a husband and father of two children 5 years ago, Ronan picture is now a new picture of him with big, thick red lips, lipstick, a fairly low-cut dress, well, they're showing it a V-neck, kind of female hair, earrings, etc. Ronan campaigned for the NDP in downtown, in the downtown Vancouver riding of Falls Creek. Watcott's response to Susanna Quayle, that's OJ's lawyer, and it was Walter Rilkoff who was the person who made the decision. And it was not the decision that was being opposed. The lawyer wanted the decision rewritten. We forcibly, in our submission on this issue, told the tribunal that's not the right way to go. You don't get decisions rewritten. If you seriously object, there is a course of action, and that's called seeking judicial review. Anyway, Bill Watcott wrote was, the defendant hereby responds to the spurious and factually erroneous arguments of the complainant and his counsel, Ms. Quayle. Ms. Quayle started this circus by claiming in her email exchange that the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal, with the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal, that the complainant was not born as male. The defendant, the complainant's obstetrician who gave birth to him, the French government, and the complainant's ex-wife, to name only a few, know otherwise. The bottom line is, if the complainant and his counsel are deluded on a fact as basic as the complainant's sex at birth, then they won't be credible on just about anything else. Indeed, the defendant can demonstrate that's Mr. Watcott, that Ms. Quayle, in light of is light on the facts with just about everything she says in her latest letter, by doing a very quick and superficial critique of her arguments in her September 27th application for reconsideration.
Ms. Quayle claims the complainant's gender identity is not on the record. Actually, the complainant's gender identity is on the record. On page one of the original complaint against me, Ms. Quayle wrote, "The flyer attacks Mr. O'Shea's sexual identity. It says Mr. O'Shea's, Ms. O'Shea's identity, gender identity, is false and an impossibility, and that transgender people like Ms. O'Shea are at elevated risk of various diseases and violent acts." As the tribunal can see from that paragraph, Ms. Quayle refers to the complainant as a female person, with a female pronoun. And Ms. Quayle tells the tribunal and anyone reading the complaint that the complainant is transgender. Ms. Quayle states the complainant's gender identity is irrelevant to the complaint. With all due respect, the complainant seems to believe his gender identity is relevant to the complaint. On Twitter, 3 days after launching his complaint, the complainant wrote, "Monday, I filed a BC Human Rights Tribunal complaint against Bill Watcock due to harmful acts over my gender identity and expression." Ms. Quayle incorrectly states, "It's not the normal practice of the tribunal or any other decision-making body, to the complainant's knowledge, to require parties to prove such personal and intimate elements of their identity as their sex. In actual fact, defendants are entitled to discovery, especially in matters that are pertinent defendant's defense. In any event, the complainant's so-called gender identity is not really all that personal or private a matter. A quick perusal of the CBC, Globe and Mail, YouTube, Vancouver Province, Extra, that's homosexual tabloid, Facebook, Twitter, will show quite definitively, that the complainant's gender identity is just about the only thing he actually talks about when speaking in public. And a quick check will confirm the complainant likes to talk about his gender identity in public often." I'm going to continue this tomorrow because we are in a real war, not only for freedom of speech, but for common sense. Well, this is Paul Drahman. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. And the show, of course, is repeated at 4 in the morning, 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.